It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Wake up!
It's time to wake on up.
Wake up.
With a nice cup of Joe.
What's up, Joe, bro?
Featuring Joe Spadoni.
He's an Italian.
And Joe, the Butcher Boy Shasky.
I am slippery.
The best part of waking up is morning roast in your cup.
It is the morning roast, man, on 95.7 The Game.
Good morning. Happy Friday. Go ahead, Carter.
Innovation. This game is tied. Bailey comes through.
Shout out to Krug and Kipe on NBC Sports Bay Area. The Giants have me so excited, Joe Shasky, that I'm jumping the gun. I was talking over the highlights of the Giants winning that game in the ninth inning on opening day. Welcome in. It's the Morning Roast. Joe Shasky. I'm Mark Randy in for Spadoni. Giants baseball is back, Shasky.
15 years from now, my kid's going to be like, where were you when Wilmer Flores hit that home run in the ninth inning on opening day? Because we were in the living room, and he's, you know, swinging the T-ball bat, and we're watching. I'm thinking, all right, how are they going to screw this one up? I mean, just they had an opportunity. It was first and third, and Ramos strikes out. And all I'm thinking in my head is, oh, my God, first and third, put the ball in play. Have a professional at-bat.
Just need a fly ball here. That's it.
I mean, as long as you don't ground out into a double play, the worst thing that could possibly happen is striking out without the bat leaving your shoulders. And then Patty freaking Barrels comes up and puts one right back up the middle. And then Wilmer Flores steps up and hits a monster shot. And look, this is why we love sports. Wilmer Flores. Had I polled Bay Area sports fans, Wilmer Flores is your DH. How you feeling about that? I mean, the approval rating would have been close to zero.
Oh, yeah. I don't think anyone was expecting him to do much of anything. And then not even just that at bat, but this year.
And two butt cheeks into that bad boy, and you're walking away with a win. And now, look, I know it's 162 games. Joe, don't lose your mind over one game. No, I am going to lose my mind over one game because that felt like a huge momentum. Forget the standings. Forget the team in the dugout.
Dodgers 3-0.
Screw them. I've never rooted harder for against Blake Snell. For the psyche of the Giants fan, how great of a shower was that to wash away all the negativity for so long and to start the Buster Posey era, which Buster didn't even play yesterday.
Happy birthday, Buster.
But for that to happen the way it did, I mean, Mark, that was so fun. So fun. And it felt like all the Giants fans were galvanized. Like, are you kidding me? You won this game that way? And then the graphic shows up. First time in the history of the Giants organization that they came back in the ninth inning on opening day. I can't believe what I saw yesterday. And I know it's the Reds. Logan Webb didn't have it. Like, I want to peel back the whole thing.
Reds are a decent baseball team. And when they got Hunter Green on the bump pitching like that, I mean, they're hard to beat.
He's electric. And we'll get into him. But just how good does it feel when your team wins?
Feels amazing.
I mean, what a vibe change.
Oh, you're right. Like, it's opening day. It means more. It's just one game. You have 161 games left.
Of course.
But that game meant a little bit more than just one win for the Giants.
It always does on opening day. Like, I go back to the 2017 game where Mad Bum comes out and has two home runs in the first game against Arizona.
Granky.
Exactly. And then Mark Melancon blows it.
Yep.
That felt like a bad omen for the whole season. Now, I'm not saying you can win a World Series or get to the playoffs on opening day. But, like, in terms of momentum shift and having a community kind of, like, rally around the team, when I watch those guys after that Wilmer Flores home run come out of the dugout and Willy Adames is, like, beating his chest and grabbing Jung-Woo Lee.
He practically met Wilmer Flores at third base.
How, like, if that didn't make you feel some kind of way, you're soulless. I mean, you're a ghoul, right? That was amazing. The Carter loves the ghoul when I go. I mean, we're going Ghostbusters here. But, like, honestly, that was such a fun game. And I think just signifying that baseball came back, Grady, that was fun.
It was so much fun. And the ninth inning, I don't know how you felt going into that ninth inning.
Tortured.
Probably thinking, they're not gonna do this.
I didn't feel good at all, especially after you're watching Lamont Wade Jr. as your leadoff hitter to start the year, and I think most people are like, oh my god, what are we doing? And I gotta say, Jung-Woo Lee in the three hole spot, even though I want him as the leadoff, and we got a million things to get into. Warriors as well. We know it's a ride or die game tonight for the Golden State Warriors
in New Orleans.
But the speed of Jung-Woo Lee putting pressure on the base pass, putting pressure on the pitcher, being able to go first to third in that situation, it's an element this team just hasn't had for so long. And, you know, credit Jung-Woo Lee for being the rally starter, not once, but twice.
Yeah, no, so he drew a walk in the fourth inning that preceded the Elliot Ramos home run. That at bat by Elliot Ramos, by the way, against Hunter Green, who's throwing like 99 plus.
With unbelievable movement in every direction.
Nasty.
Up, down, away. I mean, he's filthy.
Nasty.
I've watched him maybe now three times. He's dynamic. That's what a top pitching prospect looks like.
You shared a video to the thread yesterday of Sandy Alcantara.
Yeah, who's amazing.
Of Miami.
Yeah.
Maybe the only guy who has nastier fastball than Hunter Green. Amazing. But Hunter Green, when he's on, it's incredible to watch. But Elliot Ramos, an 11-pitch at-bat. I think he fouled off, five or six straight 98-plus mile-an-hour fastballs. Then goes oppo on pitch 11, just gets it over the wall in right field. Giants get back within a run. Then they don't score again until the ninth.
Just unreal.
It was Willy Adames' leadoff strikeout.
He
struggled at the plate.
Yeah, he didn't look great.
It's one game, whatever. Jung-Woo Lee draws the walk.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's Matt Chapman, professional at bat, goes opposite way, little dribbler.
Loved it.
Through the hole between the first and second baseman. And as you pointed out, you have speed and a good base runner at first. You go first to third. Now you've got speed on both bases. And ideally, you would have liked to capitalize on that speed and had a sack fly be the reason you get the run in and tie the game. But just having that speed on the bases, if it's Lamont Wade, who's on first, draws the walk. It's Lamont Wade on first, not Jung-Woo Lee. And then the rest of the inning plays out the way it does. The Flores home run would have been to also tie the game and also take the lead in the game, because Lamont Wade would not have gone first to third on the Chapman single, and he would not have scored from second on the Patrick Bailey single.
Not even a slight chance in hell. And this is where...
That's where the small things matter for this baseball team.
Totally agree with you. And look, eventually they'll get there, and I don't want to make this about Wilmer should... not Wilmer, but Lamont Wade should never be batting leadoff. But this is why speed up and down the lineup kills, right? It's an element that every single day, speed doesn't go through a slump. right? I want to say that very clearly. If you are a speedy player, you never go through a slump. You watched early in the game. Speed was how Elly De La Cruz scored multiple times.
Mm.
And we haven't even brought it up. Mike Yastrzemski made a play in right field to track the ball. That was it saved probably an inside the park home run and at least one extra run. And Logan Webb didn't have it yesterday, but that speed puts pressure on the base pass. And you can see it kind of got to Logan Webb a couple of times when guys are on base.
Yeah.
He's worried about, hey, I got to do a slide step, not the big high leg kick. But for them to do that that way on opening day, and then let's also, the bottom half of the ninth was
Giants torture is back, baby.
The vomit starts coming up the esophagus, did it not?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and Ryan Walker was excellent last year, but...
I mean, that ball off the bat of whoever was it that made the final out, Matt McClain, I think, the second baseman.
My heart stopped.
I thought it was gone at first.
My heart stopped.
Especially in that ballpark.
100%.
Everything in the air you think might have a chance to get
100%.
Out. Oh, man, that was a little scary.
What a fun game,
what
though.
What a fun game. We're here all morning for you to react to it. It's the Morning Roast. Joe Shasky, Mark Randy with you. And shout out to those watching on YouTube. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union for a low-rate auto loan. Apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. We're coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Laughing Monk, righteously brewed in San Francisco. Brought to you as well by Golden State, serving the Bay Area for three generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com. It is a Friday, which means Bonte Hill will be in studio at 9 o'clock. Joining us on the River Islands guest line, as all guests do here on 95.7 The Game. But Shasky, I'm just basking in the glow of an opening day win. Giants are off today. It's the built-in, like, rain day. If yesterday's game got delayed or postponed because of rain, they would have been able to play it today. But no Giants baseball today. That's okay, because what they did last night will carry me through Friday and get me ready for tomorrow.
100%. And look, they got contributions up and down the team yesterday. I thought that was a great team win. The other guy I want to credit is Bob Melvin in this one.
Tell me why.
And the reason why is, like, that ninth inning, you know, having your bullpen ready to go for the bottom half of the ninth, it's not an easy task. You had to have Ryan Walker up and ready to roll if you take the lead.
I wonder if they also had maybe Doval warming up to begin the inning.
They didn't show the camera. Yeah. I don't know. They didn't show the camera. But look, like, once you go first and third, somebody get up. We're about to tie this game. We're going to the bottom of the ninth. Because had the Giants not scored, their game's over.
You got to have somebody up to begin the inning, too.
100%.
I mean, unless you felt comfortable throwing Tyler Rogers for a second inning, which maybe you were.
Tyler Rogers are good. Him, Randy Rodriguez, and
Eric
the lefty
Miller.
Eric Miller.
Yeah.
I mean, I liked what I saw.
Three scoreless.
Yeah.
Picked up Logan Webb, who you mentioned didn't have it, but still battled through five. I mean, that's just what he does. He battles.
No doubt. But I what I like about Logan Webb, and, you know, I got like a text message from Steiny last night. Does it matter that the Giants have the best left side of the infield defensively? It's like, that's an interesting question, right? Because it's a thing that we say. It's like a narrative, right? Like, oh, well, Goldie and Arenado might be the best corner infielders in all of baseball. Well, the Cardinals have been pretty trashy the last couple of years, having that combination. But when you have a sinker ball pitcher like Logan Webb, he's going to induce a ton of ground balls. And you saw it yesterday. They flipped a huge double play up the middle. You saw Chapman make a couple of plays. You saw Adames make a couple of plays. I saw Fitz make a play on the other side of second base.
Fitz was good at second yesterday.
He looks really good at second. I don't like him at short. I'd like him a lot at second base. And he's a bigger body guy who can stay in on that double play when a guy's coming in to try to crash him. He's got a really good plus arm, and he's a plus athlete. Adames made a really nice play on a ball on the other side of the bag. Only gaffe was the ball back up the middle, hit the pitcher, hit the mound, bounced up in the air, and Elly speed, you know, makes Willie kind of make one step towards second. Oh, I need to throw to first. Everybody's safe. So it does matter having a great defensive infield when you have a pitcher like Logan Webb who's going to get a lot of ground balls.
Yeah, and that mistake, if you want to call it that, by Adames, it was more so just the pressure put on by Elly De La Cruz.
He's but so sick.
That mistake led to the two runs for the Reds in that third inning, and so the Reds immediately take advantage. But that mistake, again, if you want to call it that, Shasky, that's the only mistake the Giants defense made in the whole game. And it's something that you and I talked about yesterday, and it's something that Dave Fleming brought up with us as well. If you just play like clean baseball, you don't boot the ball around, you just play catch, as you mentioned a number of times yesterday. Even if you get the same production from your starting pitchers, which was not good last year, you get the same production from your hitters, which was not good last year, you will win like 5, 6, 7 more ball games just on the basis of playing clean defense. And yesterday was a good example of it.
Yass saves at least one run, not two.
An incredible play.
An incredible play. And then I think it was first and third again for Logan Webb later on in the game. Ground ball right to Fitz. Fitz, boom, let me flip it to Adamas. It was beautiful. It's one of the more beautiful double plays I've seen from the Giants in a long time. They led baseball back-to-back years in errors.
Unacceptable.
It really is. And where were they the most porous? Up the middle, right? You didn't have Jung-Hoo Lee for the majority of last year. It was kind of a revolving door in center field. Shortstop has just been a bugaboo for multiple years. Since
disaster last year, specifically.
And look, we love Craw. Even the year before, Craw wasn't the same. Love the guy. I'm just being real. The range wasn't the same.
Better than any of their options last year, though.
Oh, there's no doubt. There's no doubt. But he wasn't vintage Craw. And vintage Craw is one of the best defenders in the game, even in a down year. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like having Willy Adamas, you could see the arm strength. You could see the range. I loved it. And to me, the leadership on the Flores home run, seeing him jump out of the dugout. We have been dying for this team to show life in the dugout. I watched the Braves. I watched the Astros. I watched all these other teams, the Dodgers, have unbelievable chemistry.
Oh,
and
they do
spark.
Their little dance thing, the Dodgers.
Right? But it feels like their dugout is ready to pour out onto the field and party. We have had the more stoic, you know, team for years. Like, even when we had Buster and Panic, those guys are all kind of like, I call flatliner guys. You know, Yaz is a flatliner guy. He's not going to be a rah-rah guy. And that's fine. Like, not everyone needs to be Pablo. But why did they bring Pablo back even though he couldn't play anymore? It was just to have somebody.
Lit up that locker room and that dugout.
But Adamas being an everyday player who's playing shortstop, bringing that same intensity, it hits more. It hits the whole team more. And you're vibing and you could feel a connectivity that I felt like I haven't seen. Now, again, it's one game. I'm not losing my mind. I'm not jumping out of my shoes. But, like, I felt the culture change.
I mean, a handful of years ago, Brandon Belt became this crazy story because he would wear a captain's hat and put a C on his jersey.
A total idol for me.
And like, that was a big deal because who else was on that roster?
Nobody. Nobody.
With any kind of crazy personality like
no.
that.
No. Darren Ruff had some of the most personality on their team just a couple years ago.
Ruff is on the move.
I mean, right? But, like, that's where we were at. Like, Ramos, I love Ramos, but he's not like a over-the-top energy guy. He's just a grinder. I love the way Ramos plays ball. Chapman, grinder. Yaz, kind of a grinder. Jung-Hoo Lee's got a little personality, but, you know, I don't know how easy or difficult or what his communication level is on the team. The interviews I've seen with him, he's speaking in another language, right? It's hard when you speak another language to connect with other guys on the team. So I don't know. I'm not trying to say he doesn't know English behind the scenes. I'm just talking about what I've seen on some of the interviews. Having a Adamas be able to connect different fractions and cliques of the clubhouse is a huge deal. It's a huge deal in baseball when you're a traveling circus the way they are.
The 650 chiming in on our text line, 888-957-9570. I love how Flores hits that home run and walks the bases chewing gum like it's nothing. He's one of those low-key guys, but when you have a moment like that, that's you treat point. It like it's, whatever, this is just what I do. I mean, we forget Flores last year, I mean, terrible.
It was
a
loss
and right knee bothered him all year, eventually had surgery in August and his season ended. A couple years before that,
he best Giant.
Clutch and in the big moments, he would come through more than anybody else. And he did it again yesterday.
That was a sad sentence, though. He was your best Giant. And I like Wilmer, right? It's like, that's like saying, like, we were just talking before, like, the Warriors' best player is Corey Maggette. Like, no, that's not good enough. You know what I mean? Like, it's no. Like, you can't have that. And so, yeah, like, Wilmer Flores had a hell of a year. What was it, 2022, I think it was?
In 2023, he hit .284 with 23 bombs.
Okay, it was 2023.
Pretty good.
Yeah, but he couldn't play defense. And they had him at third. They had him at second. This was during the shift. They tried to play him at first. And he was a liability.
Yeah.
Having him as your DH and your first baseman, look, I don't love it, but yesterday he shoved it right into anyone's face who was critiquing him and was eye-rolling him being your DH on opening day.
Yeah.
And good for him, man.
Yeah. Feels really
good.
I'm sure it feels really good for Wilmer Flores, and that felt really good as Giants fans. And we're here all morning to talk to you about it. 888-957-9570. How fun was that? And how good is it to have some faces on this team that you feel like you're developing something with?
I agree.
That you really, really can get into and can enjoy watching play baseball all year. We'll talk about that as well as we continue. That's what's coming up on the game, brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Spring into action at Valvoline Instant Oil Change, your 15-minute drive-through oil change. Stay in your car while friendly technicians check oil, batteries, lights, tires, and more. Locations and coupons at BayAreaOilChange.com. All vehicle types. Welcome. It's the Morning Roast. Joe Shasky. I'm Mark Randy, in for Joe Spadoni. More coming up next on 95.7 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie. But since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
I mean, wide stance, short swing, just I'm trying to barrel something up. That's all you're trying to do in that situation. Protect, fight off a pitch that's maybe borderline because you don't want to get punched out. And that was a template at bat for young players out there.
Literally game one of 162, it might be the at bat of the year.
Oh, okay, okay.
It might be.
I'm not going to argue with you on it. It was an unbelievable at bat. And then the at-bat at the end of the game was like, hey, that's a young player that a filthy backdoor slider. I mean, that was an unbelievable pitch. And pitch
all
sequence.
Behind 0-2. Yeah,
pitch sequence from the Reds. But you got to try to swing there, and you got to try to put the ball in play. Like you're first and third. Ground ball, maybe it's a double play. Maybe you break it up. You referenced earlier, hey, Chapman's at first. He's a hard-nosed, quicker player. Maybe he puts pressure on the middle infielders to kind of rush it. Maybe he breaks it up with a hard slide.
Ramos got a bit of speed, too.
Maybe he beats it down the line. But you've got to put the ball in play, right? And this is where the analytic people always drive me crazy, right? Because we're obsessed with these random things. For example, exit velo. Well, what was the exit velo on the ground ball that Matt Chapman hit to the right side to go first to third?
I might be able to find it for you. Give me a sec.
I mean, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You know why? Because that's a baseball play. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Right? And so it's
71.9 miles per hour.
And this is why.
But it's a base knock.
Exit velo means very little to me. Like
8-degree launch angle.
And what was it? A very productive big league at bat in the ninth inning.
Just
was
go
it
the
not?
Opposite way and poke it through the hole between
Beautiful.
First and second.
You know, I was listening to some of these agents, and they're like, you know, we like to get our clients signed off exit velo. And I'm thinking to myself, like, okay, so there's a great example of why exit velo doesn't tell me anything. Because there are certain baseball plays where a ground ball is the right play. And so maybe my average exit velo goes down because of that little ground ball chopper, when in reality, my team's chances of winning go skyrocketing through the roof. So why would I obsess about exit velo if I'm trying to win games?
You know what that Matt Chapman hit in the ninth inning reminded me of?
What's that?
The guy sitting upstairs, Buster Posey.
It's a great call.
And Matt
a great call.
Matt Chapman, a signing before Buster Posey took over, but he was still in the organization, and he had a part in that acquisition, that signing of Matt Chapman. That's just a professional hitter, knows what's asked of him in that situation, and doesn't try to do too much. Find totally. The hole. You got the first baseman holding on Jung-Hoo Lee at first because he's got speed. You don't want to give up a stolen base. You have a gigantic hole between the first baseman and the second baseman. Chappie, just go the opposite way, poke it into right, get on base, allow Jung-Hoo to go all the way over to third, and then you're in business. I could say the same thing about Patrick Bailey. Patrick Bailey single with two outs, 87 miles an hour off the bat. He had a 3-0 count. They let him swing 3-0, which I liked.
I know.
He took a good cut, fouled it off, then 3-1 still in. You know, you've got all the leverage there, count leverage for Patrick Bailey. Just look for your pitch, but don't try to hit it out.
Exactly.
Just go right back up the middle, drive in the run, and they did that. Though that felt like a couple of situations, Shasky, where the Giants showed what they emphasized in spring training and showed what the new regime is trying
That's
to change,
point.
Which isn't like hit the home run or strike out. It's just make the simple, right baseball play. And if you do that over and over and over and over, you will win more baseball games.
There's no doubt. And this is, he made so many great points there. I mean, the fact that Jung-Hoo Lee's getting held on opens up that side of the infield. And the little things for me.
Are they even going to hold on Lamont Wade? They
probably will. But no, your point is well taken, right? Like, well, and also, if it's Lamont Wade, your second baseman could shade over knowing he can get back to second to get a double play because he's got a couple extra steps. When it's a speedier player like Ellie De La Cruz, I got to shade over to the bag because I got to beat him to the bag.
Tyler Fitzgerald needs a big head start.
Exactly, right? So, God, you're hitting the nail on the head here. And I got to give Bailey some credit. There is something about this young man. He comes up clutch in these situations. Now, I don't know what the data tells me in these ninth inning, eighth inning pressure situations, but I feel like he lives for these moments.
That homer at Citi Field against the Mets a couple years ago, he has a lot of those big moments.
He really does. Well, and yesterday you're talking about like baseball, right? How many times does a guy not deliver first and third, and he comes back to the dugout, and he turns, he takes his helmet off, pick me up, Patty Bailey. Like, that's what he's saying. Pick me up. Keep the line going, right? And a great team, the next guy does step up in that situation. All right, we screwed up. We had first and third. We didn't put the ball in play. We didn't drive in an easy run. Can the next guy overcome that and knock that guy in? And he does. And it was just, God, it was so refreshing and so fun. And I was walking around this morning, Mark, and I want to throw this at you and tell me what you think of this. I ran into my boy Rocco. I'm out the headphones in. I'm listening to my music. I'm going to get my Pete's coffee here. And my boy Rocco just, hey, bro, what's up? I go, what's up? And he's just got a pep in his step. He's like, dude, it's just so much more fun when my teams win. And he's so right. Like, I know we've got real life stuff, right? Like, sports is just an element of our lives. You got family and bills and real stuff. You know, I got a 90-year-old grandfather. You know what I mean? I got a mother-in-law. I got my mom. I got all my brother and sister and their kids and their family. And there's always something, right?
Yeah,
I got
baby.
My own wife, my own kid. There's always something going on in my life. And when my teams win, it's just a silver lining pep in the step to my day. There's just the coffee tastes better. The air is more crisp. Am I alone in that?
No, you're not alone. I walked down to let you inside this morning, and you're just like screaming, walking into work.
Screaming.
Yeah.
There's a glow about me, and I feel like there is something psychologically that gives us just a little extra boost, a little more smile when our teams are good. Nothing's worse than like, let's sit here and argue whether Jimmy G is good or not. Is Jonathan Kuminga a fit? And like, I know, like, those are natural.
And we'll get to it later.
Yeah,
right?
We'll get probably to all that stuff. There's no doubt about it. But like, when our teams win, God, it just, I just feel better. Like, when the Warriors were on their big win streak, how fun was it to come in and do the job?
Easier to wake up every morning.
It is.
There's nothing better than a day like today where it's a Friday morning. You're already amped because it's a Friday.
Exactly.
But then you're coming off of a win like last night, and you're like, look, there's nothing that can get me down today.
Exactly.
I can take on anything.
It's 100%. And, like, conversely, when you lose, when the Warriors lose to the Heat in the way that they did, look, okay, I know, there's real life stuff. It does make me angry. Like, well, I'm like, what the hell?
That's why people love sports. It's an escape. It's a distraction. It's supposed to make you feel good.
I'm so upset.
But it is.
You feel that way a lot of times, too.
Where's he been? What's he up to?
No idea.
What's he up to? I love that guy. Shout out Bellarmine. They're out there somewhere. But, like, the Giants winning the way they did, the amount of people that texted me, that tweeted at me, that hit me up on Instagram, that were just, they're just happy. They're just happy to enjoy their team. And I think for, like, the last, I don't know, let's just say 5 or 6 years, outside of a handful of moments, when you bring up the Giants, there's just been a dark cloud of negativity. And yesterday's win, to me, was metaphorically, it was just like the skies opening up. And after a big storm of the last 5 years, what typically happens the next morning? A rainbow. And I don't know where that rainbow goes. I don't know if there's a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. It might be a mirage. It might just be an optical illusion. But I do feel like there's a rainbow over the Giants right now. And I'm just happy that my team that I love is just fun again.
Oh, yeah.
They're just fun.
And hey, listen, like, there's a reality. And, I mean, it's one game out of 162. This team could be 500 again. They could be worse than 500. They could be better. No matter how this season turns out, the key, and I think we oftentimes overlook this because we get so caught up in the end result and trying to win a championship. What makes sports great, Shasky, and that's why we all love it. And if you're listening right now at 6:40 in the morning, I know you love sports too.
100%.
Because why else would you be listening? And we love all of you out there who are tuning in, making us a part of your busy Friday morning. You have to enjoy these moments when you get them.
100%.
This could be a terrible season. There could be a bunch of bad things coming. And knock on wood, of course, I hope not. But all the more reason to just bask in what yesterday was. Because that was a moment that Giants fans have waited a long time for. And it doesn't mean they're going to win the World Series. It doesn't mean they're going to make the playoffs. But this is why we like sports. Moments like yesterday. And I'm just basking in it, Chasky.
You won a game where your ace didn't have his best stuff.
Against an ace who did have his stuff.
And you struck out 1,000 times.
17 strikeouts.
Okay.
And you won.
You won a game where you didn't execute in the ninth inning after some things kind of went your way. And then overcame that. And then took the lead with a guy who most people eye-rolled when they saw him in the DH slot, when they saw the starting lineup be announced.
Yeah.
Right? Like, so this is a great win for them. And then you saw a young guy in Ryan Walker step up and he shut the door. Thank God. Cause if they lose that game, could you imagine walking in here and he would have hit a couple of guys? Cause he almost did. And they found a way to lose that game. It'd be up, same old Giants, right? That's what we would be feeling this morning. And so, yeah, man, it's really exciting. And then that brings me to, and we'll get into it at some point, I think it's the biggest Warrior game of the year tonight. As of right now, it might be the biggest Warrior game of the year. I don't know how everyone else is feeling, but, like, there's just no other way other than saying it's a must win.
Yeah.
And I don't view it any other way. I honestly, the more and more I keep feeling about the Warriors, it's like if you fall to the play-in games, I feel like you're going nowhere. Like you might not get out of the play-in. That's the way I'm feeling. It feels like a huge momentum game tonight.
It is. It is a huge momentum game. And they are currently the 7th seed. All the more reason they need to win. We don't have an update on whether Steph is going to play or not. It seems likely that he will. We do know that GP2 is not going to play. Tore a ligament in his left thumb, and he's out in the definite period of time, and he's been playing really good basketball of late. That is, that's going to hurt. That's going to hurt the Warriors for sure. That game in New Orleans is at 5, which means Warriors Live begins at 4, presented by Xfinity. Stream sports from the best seat in the house with Xfinity. Bring on the good stuff. It's the morning roast here on a Friday. Joe Shasky, I'm Mark Randy, in for Joe Spadoni. Plus, we got Bonte Hill stopping by at 9 for the whole 9 o'clock hour, and as always, on Fridays, shameless shout out outs at 7:45. So in an hour from now, line up your phone calls. Anybody you want to shout out, anything you want to shout out, we'll take your calls on that coming up in an hour at 7:45 on Shameless Shoutouts. That is what's coming up on the game, brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. It's the Morning Roast on a Friday on 95.7 The Game.
You saw a guy, a young player, not get overpowered, have a game plan, right? He had a very specific game plan, was timing him up, was battling. There's something rewarding about winning one of those battles on either end, whether you're the pitcher or whether you're the hitter. Like, I love those mano a mano moments. And not only does he barrel up, I mean, he tanked that ball.
Oh, yeah.
That ball was absolutely crushed, and they needed that jolt so bad. So, yeah, that was awesome. And Hunter Green, just for a second, he's special. I mean, he is special. When you have 100-mile-an-hour movement, 100-mile-an-hour fastball with electric movement, that's the separator. You know, we remember you brought up a guy that your dad didn't like, Felix Rodriguez. Mm. He threw really hard, dead straight. And anybody can barrel that up. And all these kids right now are at batting cages, and they can all barrel up 90-something miles an hour. They can barrel up 100. I'm dead serious. It's when you start mixing and matching speeds and having people off balance and you mix it in with movement and precise location, that's when you become nearly unhittable. Paul Skeens is a great example. Unbelievable movement on a variety of pitches. Unbelievable discrepancy in miles per hour from his breaking ball stuff to his fastball stuff. An elite movement. And he just keeps you guessing. Hunter Green is a special, special talent. And I was thinking about just kind of the Giants' arms while I was watching him. That's Hunter Green, and I'm pointing to the screen. That's what a top prospect looks like. Kyle Harrison's never looked like that. Now, you don't have to look like that to have a great career. Andy Pettit was unbelievable. Unbelievable. Never threw 100 miles an hour.
I mean, you can just look at Logan Webb, too.
Great example. But what does Logan Webb have? Pinpoint accuracy when he's on. Unbelievable movement. Can cut the ball in a variety of ways. Up, down, left, right, etc.
Situational pitcher. Needs a ground ball. He'll get a ground ball.
Mentally tough, right? There's a lot of things that go into it. Kyle's got a long way to go. I know he's down in AAA. He's got a long way to go to get there. And I think he needs to learn the art of pitching, which is kind of where I'm going with this. And so,
pitching versus throwing.
There's a big difference. Big difference. Think about Camilo Duvall the first time he came up. When he first came up in 2021, he's a thrower, not a pitcher. By the end of the year, he had turned into a pitcher, and then he reverted back to being a thrower, right? That happens. And yeah. Anyway, I'm just watching Hunter Green, and I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking to myself, God, Kyle's got a long way to go. You can still be a great pitcher. You can still have a heck of a career, but you've got to master all the little stuff, the secondary pitches, the ability to get guys out on your terms, keep them unbalanced. And if you don't have that blow-away stuff, like mid-90s fastballs ain't getting it done in today's day and age when you're facing guys like Hunter Green.
Yeah.
And like even a guy like Carlos Rodon, who pitched for the Yankees yesterday, he's throwing 100 from the left side, and it has movement, and he's got incredible secondary stuff.
Nasty.
And even he is all over the place.
Yeah.
So, I was thinking about Kyle Harrison when I was watching Hunter Green yesterday.
I was too. And yeah, I mean, it's pretty clear the difference in arm talent in those dudes, but arm talent alone isn't going to make you a good pitcher at the major league level. It's the Morning Roast here on 95.7 The Game. That's Joe Shasky. I'm Mark Randy, in for Joe Spadoni. We're brought to you by Golden State, serving the Bay Area for three generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit goldenstatelumber.com. It's a Friday, which means a couple of things. Shameless shout outs at 7:45, a little less than an hour from now. Get your calls in and you can shout out whatever or whoever you want. Plus, we got Bonte Hill coming up in the 9 o'clock hour here in studio. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? Let me ask you this, Joe Shasky, because Sam Lubman threw this out in our group chat yesterday.
Give it to me.
After the game. That's the game the Giants lose last year, right? You think so?
Yeah. I think they lose that the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Outside of the 107, they've lost that game for what feels like 8 years. Am I wrong?
Yeah, you're right. They might, I'll give them credit, they might like come back and maybe force extras or go to the bottom of the ninth, but we have been through the story so many times. Patrick Bailey gets the hit,
yep,
clutch hit, you feel like, all right, we got a chance to steal this game, let's go to the bottom of the ninth, and then they get walked off on.
Yeah.
They don't have the Wilmer Flores hit that puts them ahead by three, and they ultimately close the door in the bottom of the ninth. They don't do that the last handful of years.
No, I think you're
right. They might tie it up, but they don't close the door.
I would also add to that, they probably give up more runs earlier in the game because of sloppy defense. I keep coming back to that Yaz play that he made out in right field to dive and just kind of trap that ball. In years past, you make a mistake like that, it's an inside the park home run.
What was that exact situation? I'm going to find that out exactly.
I believe Ellie De La Cruz scored on the play, but the other guys got stopped at second and third.
The first inning, right?
Yes, first inning. I think it's an inside the park home run, personally.
Mm. Yeah, it was first and second, two outs.
Uh-huh.
Candelario hits the liner to right. Yaz dives and somehow traps it.
I don't know how he stopped that.
Candelario, I don't think he has great speed. It's at least a triple and at least another run.
Exactly.
At minimum.
And then, we were watching the double play that Logan Webb induced. Like, that's a play they get one out and not two the last couple of years. Mm. They just haven't been clean up the middle. Second base has been an adventure. Tyro got better at second base over time, but they've had a zillion guys play there. Brett Wisely was a brick at first at second base, and eventually became a better defender. But having him and Adames up the middle, I'm talking about Fitz, they just look clean. They look like they've played together a lot, and I like that.
Let me ask you about the Yaz play, because it undoubtedly was an incredible play, because he somehow kept the ball in front of him, but he kind of had an awkward dive when he was nowhere near actually catching the baseball.
You know what the rule of thumb is.
I mean, you slow down, let it bounce, and then you just keep it in front of you.
You situationally dive. And especially early in the game, giving up a run sucks, and I know you want to make a big play. Like, I understand that, but you also have to understand multiple runners on.
You're making it 10 times more difficult on yourself diving for that.
100%. But you know what? He has come through with some unbelievable plays. I have a hard time questioning Yaz's defense or his strategy on defense.
He's also made that kind of play before.
That's kind of
whatever reason he's good at.
That's what I'm kind of.
It's not easy, but he also
has a plus arm, right? And so I think what he's thinking is, let me get a glove on this, knock it down, I'll still be able to get it in. But there's no doubt, it is risky as hell. Because if you let that go by you, you're giving up multiple runs. Mm. You just basically tip the cap. Ellie's going to score no matter what. His speed on the base pass, and did you see, I think it was Sam sent to the group thread, the sliding mitt?
Oh, yeah.
So the sliding mitts are a thing. Do you guys even know what they're there for?
To protect your hands when you slide into second base?
Yeah, basically so you don't get like a thumb fracture.
Yeah.
Every 10-year-old kid wants the slide. I call it the waffle glove, the sliding glove. And now they're all customizable.
They look like oven mitts.
They do look like oven mitts. That's exactly what they look like. And they cost like $100 a pop. And here's the best part. Kids will get a base hit, and as they're running down the line, they try to put the waffle glove on. It's like, no, wait till you get to first. Then they get to first base, and they're off the bag as the pitcher's on the rubber, and they're trying to put the waffle glove on. I have a rule. If you can't put the waffle glove on in 5 seconds, you don't need a waffle glove. Then the second rule. If you're never going to dive head first back into first, what's the point of having the waffle glove? So it's funny that now they have all the customizable ones, because that's all the kids want. I bet if we ask the boss right now, does his kid have a waffle glove?
Oh, guaranteed.
I guarantee he's got one. I bet, knowing the boss, he's probably got an Evo Shield one. That's what I'm going to guess. We should ask him. Go back there and ask him.
Knowing the boss, he probably is. It's not a happy talking point for him either.
No. The waffle
Shut
gloves.
Up, Aldi.
The accessories in baseball are kind of what makes everything cool, right?
Well, I just thought the Ellie ones I just thought were cool because it's like he's got the gingerbread man, and what's the gingerbread man always say? Run, run, run as fast as you can. You can't catch me. Ellie De La Cruz likes to steal. You can't be caught stealing. Like, that's the comparison
I
got there.
Gingerbread man says, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, run, run, run as fast as you can. God. You can't catch me. I'm the gingerbread man. And that's Ellie De La Cruz. Okay. You can't catch him.
I'm not going to lie.
He's very fast.
I didn't know that.
That's the instant connection I made.
Oh, wow.
Why I pointed it out.
I guess I have a hole in my gingerbread man.
I just know the gingerbread.
Dude, you got to brush up on your fairy tales, man. Come
I just
on.
Know the
Maybe
gingerbread.
Bake up on it.
Gingerbread man.
Just don't go for the gumdrop buttons.
That's what I was going to say. Gingerbread man for me is Shrek, not the gumdrop
exactly.
buttons. That's what I think
exactly.
of.
Exactly. That's exactly what I think of.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Wow, the gingerbread. I need to brush up on my gingerbread.
Apparently.
Man. Well, they
got to read LJ more bedtime stories.
Hey, bro, we're slowly peeling back the onion on the Disney classics.
That's true. You got a lot of work to do.
What was the one we did just the other day? Robin Hood, which is an all-time classic. all-time classic. The songs, they're hitters.
Oh, the one from like the 60s? 70s? With the,
I think it was 73, maybe?
Yeah.
Classic. The hen is like strumming the guitar. It's really good.
Has he seen Bambi?
We have not gotten to Bambi yet.
Classic.
That's a dangerous one.
And we'll talk Snow White off air. Don't want to make things polarizing.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on the free Odyssey app. And now we're broadcasting live from the Laughing Monk Studios. It's the Morning Roast. Joe Shasky. I'm Mark Grandy in for Joe Spadoni. Giants beat the Reds.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Green from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.